Hello, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
So we are here today to discuss CoverGirl.
Work. CoverGirl.
The funny thing is, like, that is where my mind should go, and for some reason it goes to a New Kids on the Block song that I don't even know.
So you can't even sing it.
It's just, oh, oh, you're my cover girl. Oh, 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 oh. And I don't know what, but like, that's what I go to for some reason.
I think that's the exact same thing as, oh, 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 oh.
Yeah, they had a lot of oh, oh, oh on that oh, album.
The right stuff.
No shade. I wasn't into the Backstreet Boys, but I had a friend who was super into them and would play the cover girl song all the time.
Wait, you said New Kids on the Block.
That's what I meant.
And then Weird Al.
My ages, my days.
And then Weird Al covered it and called it The White Stuff, and it was about Oreos. What's in the middle? The white. I always know, like, the Weird Al version of every right. song.
I kept waiting for you to say, but hold on.
I don't have any.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
I mean, apparently we did a really good job. We found the clown table, but we've already discussed that.
Yeah.
Oh, but hold on from us. Mike was like, I never realized that Amy Sedaris says, and the Jewish Hanukkahs.
Get on the shelves by Christmas / the Jewish Hanukkahs.
Yeah, it's really funny. Well,
and I, of course, like, I'm an Amy Sedaris fan, as I mentioned, and that's, like, totally an Amy Sedaris sense of humor.
She didn't write the episode.
Right, but I'm sure she had some, like, it probably was, I bet you the line was, and the Jewish holidays, and Amy Sedaris changed it to, and the Jewish Hanukkahs.
Yeah, I've watched that episode probably less times than some, because I don't watch the fifth season as much, but yeah, it was so funny. I never heard it until I wasn't looking at it. There was
headphones. Of course, like, I find that, like, I love comedians that, like, I love the comedy of just completely mispronouncing things or, like, just really obscure. I've told you all, like, my favorite drag queen ever is Dina Martina, and she's one of those people that's like, you're either like, what am I watching, or this person is brilliant.
So, CoverGirl originally aired on August 11th, 2002. So this was co-written by Michael Patrick King and Judy Toll. And I did some research on Judy Toll. She had actually passed away before this episode aired.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she passed away in April of 2002. Very young. And I wish I knew more about her, mostly because I'd like to know what her writing on this episode entailed. Because it's the only episode of the show that she worked on. She wrote for a lot of other things. She was part of the Groundlings. Mm-hmm. I know that she was friends with Kathy Griffin and, like, helped Kathy Griffin segue into, like, the comedy world as opposed to doing sketch comedy, stand up instead. She seems like a very interesting and lovely person,
maybe,
from what I read.
Maybe perhaps he was trying to bring her on more.
And it could be, maybe. So anyways. Directed by John David Coles. This is his last episode. He's going to direct a couple of West Wings. He also I sort of noticed this as I was looking through his credits. He directed something called Trump Unauthorized back in 2005.
Oh.
2005. We had plenty of warning. So, it can take a lifetime to figure out who you are. Yeah, still working on it.
Yeah, they said it takes a lifetime. So it's not like they didn't tell you.
Courtney and Lily are showing her a mock-up
of
her book cover.
But we need a DVD description.
We do. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Elise Castle, saving the day. Should you judge a book by its cover? After getting an offer to turn her columns into a book, Carrie researches for a jacket that will make her the perfect book jacket. Ah, I see what they did there. Samantha gets caught in the act and begins to wonder if she's too old for her sexual antics. Charlotte needs a self-help book, but needs help buying it. Miranda joins Weight Watchers and meets her very own Big. That was that.
I mean, I don't really know. We'll get to it with the Samantha thing, but she never says, am I too old? Like, she never says that. Am I too old for this? She has a reflective moment, but it's, the DVD recap is a little misleading.
A little bit, but I think I know. I see what they're going for.
So anyway. Yeah, it opens with Carrie and a meeting with Molly and Amy.
Okay. Yeah, Courtney and Lily.
This book cover is so you. It's just a mock-up, and don't be thrown. We put your head on another person's body.
But, you know, Molly.
Molly and Amy sound like American Girl dolls. Molly is an American Girl doll. Maybe Amy is now. I don't know. I'm not.
So the book cover they show her is very Madonna's sex book.
Is Madonna's head superimposed on?
No, but like, that exact photo of, like, a naked person in traffic.
Oh, really?
Is, like, from Madonna's sex book.
I wasn't allowed to know about that when I was growing up.
Well, I was, because I think I was like, I don't think I was 18 when it came out. But I remember, I love Madonna. I've loved Madonna for a very, very long time. And I remember the sex book being like the thing I disapproved of.
Okay.
That I even loved the Erotica album and I loved all of that stuff. But I remember being like, I'm not going to buy that book because I disapprove. Now I hate myself for that because I super wish that I own it, even though I've actually seen it before and it does kind of fall apart. But anyways, there you go.
Can't you get it on Amazon?
You probably can. I wonder what it goes for now. Maybe I'll check it out. But they do fall apart. Like, that was a big thing about the book, was that it was bound in a way in which the pages kind of, like, fell out.
Oh, literally falls apart.
Okay. So I wonder what kind of condition they'd be in. She sort of talks about how she always has time to get her clothes on.
I said, is that true, Carrie? Yeah, the line is, no matter how fast-paced the city, I always manage to get my clothes on before I leave the apartment. And I wrote, not true, she wore her bra to the Korean deli. Yeah,
so, okay. And then she sort of gets into how her column isn't really about sex. It's really about relationships.
Here's what concerns me. That cover is all about sex. She's just sex shaming sex.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I guess more than anything, feels like a super quick turn, like a super quick left turn.
Right. I didn't know that was what your column was not
like
about.
Like, now she's super prim and super proper. And
my columns are about relationships. And when I do write about sex, it's just words. Reading about sex is a lot different than seeing it in front of you, naked on 6th Avenue, hailing a cab.
We're going to get into it as the episode goes along, but it does feel like we're dealing with a lot of things very quickly.
Yeah, call it dating in the city then.
Right. So they go to Barnes & Noble.
That's the one on the Upper West Side.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm a Barnes & Noble member. Gotcha.
I mean, I know that at Barnes & Noble as well, Elise.
I'm just saying, like, there's an escalator. I even, like, could be outing myself a little bit here, but I've been to that self-help section many times. Okay. And I know exactly where it is on the top floor towards the back. It's next to where they do, if there's ever, like, an author.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where all the chairs are. And it does say self-help right on the top there.
So they kind of quickly go through some books. They, for the record, the loser on the cover of Shame, Shame, Go Away is Michael Patrick King.
Also, this was filmed sometime around Earth Day, because throughout the Barnes & Noble, there were little ads that said, like, books for Earth Day.
Oh, okay.
So just something I caught.
And then I'm pretty sure that the disaster they reference in the Table for Who book, I'm pretty sure that's Amy Harris, who was a writer on the show played the bingo lady. Just because, like, that face looks really familiar, but I could be wrong.
Oh, that would be a really good eye.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. So Samantha sort of offers to help Carrie, and Carrie says that she can't afford her.
But I think,
that's
like...
That's pretty common for, like, friends that... I mean, you don't ever want to just assume that your friend that gets paid to do something will do it for you for free. But a lot of times it's like, hey, no, just take me out to lunch sometime.
Right.
Which is kind of what it comes down to. It'll cost her 2 martinis and a lunch. Miranda's shopping for diet books. I did write, Miranda wants to lose weight while eating junk food and sitting around.
Yeah, and also in my mind, I'm thinking, you're only big because you're, like, actually pregnant.
Yeah, well, yeah. She, once again, she's less pregnant than Sarah Jessica Parker is.
Right.
So they've padded her to look like that.
Oh, okay, they have.
Oh, yeah, they definitely have. Because I want to say that she's, like, 2 months less far along than
I didn't realize
Sarah Jessica
that
Parker.
She had, like, a... padding on.
Oh yeah, no. I'm certain they are doing things to make her look bigger than she really is.
And Charlotte mentions the zone diet, which I totally remember.
Oh yeah, of course.
I mean, I did, and we can get into this more too, but I've done all of these. Never did the zone, so I'm lying, but I did South Beach and Atkins and Weight Watchers.
So Charlotte is going to the self hell aisle.
Mm-hmm. Starting over yet again.
By Jane Rabb, who is a producer on Sex and the City.
That really helped me.
Travel?
And then at checkout, we get...
Judy Gold. But we get Miranda eating nougat first, and I hate nougat.
But that's... Oh, I love nougat. But I'm also not a big candy person. But I guess that's my thing of, like, I really want to lose weight. But and I also will acknowledge that being a mother, like, takes a ton of energy. But there is just part of me when someone's like, I really want to lose weight while not doing anything, and I'm going to eat this candy. And I'm always kind of like, well, there.
Well, I think she's like, I haven't bought the book yet, so I don't have to figure it out yet.
Let's get it all in now.
Also, when Mike said he's really not a candy person, I did a total eye roll that you can't see.
I'll eat French fries for days.
Right.
I'm much more, like, that's my preference right there. So, yeah, Judy Gold suggests Weight Watchers.
Which, by the way, I didn't have to Google.
Weight Watchers. It's the only sane way to go.
Weight Watchers is the only way. And that's true. A lot of people will say that. They're like, if you want to lose weight. And as someone who currently uses Weight Watchers, like, I enjoy it.
I would be curious as to what, how much say Weight Watchers had in this. Because I assume that it's a trademark thing.
Yeah, but also, like, it's kind of, like, in the diet world, like, most people will say, like, Weight Watchers is the one that works. Like, it's kind of, like, a thing. Because, like, you're not eliminating one thing forever when you're doing Weight Watchers.
So we get a quick jab at Dr. Phil, which I enjoy. And then Charlotte orders it on Amazon.
Amazon.com.
Yeah, and it's funny how...
Overnight Express, shame-free, which now it would... And I think at this point, Amazon was probably just books.
Oh, I don't know. I mean... I use Amazon like crazy now. I probably use it. I'm actually trying to cut back on my Amazon use, but that's only in the last couple of years. So it's funny watching this now because I feel like at the time I would have been like, what? What's she doing?
Yeah, Amazon, I feel like was definitely just for, I feel like at first was definitely just for books because I remember my Uncle Richard, who's listening probably, hi, telling me about it. I remember him telling me about it and because he would order books from there. And then I remember when I started having my own credit card, they did all media stuff. So I think it was just like books and CDs and DVDs. And now it's like I literally last night ordered Glenn some dog treats.
The bed frame you're looking at was ordered on Amazon.
Yeah. This water bottle.
This rug.
Amazon.
Yeah, there you go. Surrounded by it.
I don't do it that much, though. I do like to support real people.
Yeah, I've cut back now, and if there's a thing that I can go to a store and buy, I try not to do... They talk about what is, like, micro deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to get everything there now. So we get to the next day in Samantha's office.
Joe from Worldwide Express.
Yeah, Nick Scotty. He was really in a big independent film before this called Kiss Me Guido.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it was a bit... He was, like, the lead in that movie. He was also on, you know, 116 episodes of The Young and the Restless.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he just looks like he should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's quite a package.
Yeah.
That's quite a package.
Excuse me?
That's quite a package.
Just thought Samantha had a nice office. It's really nice.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, and Carrie walks in, like...
Well,
she's
so she signs for the package, has him open her package,
and then she's like, can I take care of your package?
Fucking A.
Something like that. And then Carrie walks in and suddenly can't walk.
So I said, first of all, I said, maybe she should lock the door.
Yeah.
If you're going to give someone a blowy, go ahead and lock the door.
A blowy?
Yeah, that's just what I'm calling it now.
Okay, beads.
And then Carrie runs into 8 doors and leaves.
Yeah, like Carrie just can't. It's like... Carrie suddenly had one of those lukewarm martinis that she had at Vogue where she also can't walk.
Yeah, in like the super comedy version of this, she would then like fall to the floor and like military crawl out or something like that.
Like Carrie can't go to office buildings because she can't walk.
Yeah. So we get Miranda weighing in at Weight Watchers. Mm-hmm. They invert her numbers. I guess part of why I wondered how much say Weight Watchers had is because this isn't a great moment for Weight Watchers.
Hi. There's been a mistake on my weight.
Nope, the scales don't lie.
This isn't a vanity thing. The other woman inverted the numbers.
Elaine!
Yeah.
You wrote down this woman weighs 158.2, but she weighs 152.8.
Sorry. Could you not yell out my weight?
Like, would they really scream your weight across the room?
I don't know. It reminds me of when I'm at the self-checkout and they're like, please place your avocados in the bag. And you're like, God, good thing I'm just buying avocados. Yeah. But I mean, when I went to Weight Watchers meetings, it was years and years and years ago. And I think they just kind of wrote it down.
Okay.
But I think it was more comedic. But also it's like a support thing. Like no one there, you're not, you know, everyone there is kind of... there for the same reason.
Yeah, it just felt like a weird... I know that it's for comedy, but it felt like a weird moment. And then on the directing side of things, I just don't think we needed that insert of "Hello, my name is Big Boned."
Yeah,
like we can read it, we can see it. He says it. I don't know. That's a
Tom
weird director
Big Boned
thing.
And Miranda Baby Weight, and I'm Elise Cookies, and this is my friend Mike Margaritas.
I was gonna say, yeah, that you got me there. Yeah, Craig Gass is this actor, and it's just a quick hello.
Hi.
Carrie and Stanford are fagging and flipping.
Yeah, Stanford came over for a fag and some flipping. It's like, I know that means cigarette in London. Like, I get it. But also, like, SATC, quit with the FAG.
Yeah. You Once know? Again, I think that Michael Patrick King thinks that he has a certain amount of...
Well, also, it was 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Stanford looks very something. And I wrote, did he not look very... something when he walked in the door. This is a writer thing for me that kind of annoys me.
It's like
me.
They've been around. They've been hanging out for some time.
Like 20 minutes into hanging out, she's suddenly like, I'm just noticing that you look happy.
Yeah, Stanford also always looks like an agent to me. Like he's going to get you in that room.
And he met someone.
Marcus, a dancer.
And I don't think this is a thing to make fun of.
Because we are in the arts. So, like...
Okay, I guess so.
And I thought of this, too. I thought of this, too. Because they were like, don't make fun of me, but he's in the Radio City Male Chorus and blah, blah, blah.
And she's like, I feel like my hands are tied. I'm like, yeah, that's not
but
funny.
I know, but I wonder if in, like, the world of people who make a lot of money and have consistent jobs, if, like, you're dating... And in New York City, it's like, oh, I'm dating this, like, dancer. Everyone's going to be like... I don't know. I wonder what that's like.
F you.
We don't have... I don't know those people.
Yeah.
And those people I do know at one point were also like actors, right. Dancers, or singers.
So Samantha calls and thinks what happened is funny.
It was hilarious. I'm sending you the x-ray bill for my elbow.
Could you have gotten out of there any faster?
I just wrote, also, this is a weird conversation.
Yeah. Oh, wait. But first they said they're both Grande House Blondes. I don't know why I wrote that down. Okay. I just want to let you know. I pay attention. How funny was that thing in my office yesterday?
And then, like,
yesterday.
Tells her to lighten up, and she's like, I am light. It's just that thing of, like, okay, I think you're going to have a conversation about this.
Yeah, I guess so, but that's just her technique. Like, I feel everyone, when they do something embarrassing, tries to think of, how can I the next day make this not a big deal without having a difficult
Correct.
Conversation?
Instead of saying, like, that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry about that. You have to, like, go to the humor of it. But they're both trying to go to the humor, and neither one is finding the other one funny.
Right.
And this is going to continue.
Yeah.
I got my favorite stylist to do us a favor and pull some looks for the cover.
Oh, well, did you tell them what we're looking for?
Sexy chic, just like you said.
So Carrie wants to be there, which isn't weird.
No.
Like, it's not weird that Carrie wants to be there when Samantha's choosing outfits. She also wants Stanford to be there, which also isn't weird.
It is kind of weird. I don't want Stanford's fashion taste.
Well, sure, but I just
She's
think that,
like, he's a bitchy gay, and that's who's going to be my demographic. And
yeah, I just, none of this seems weird to me.
No,
Samantha's
no, no.
Very, like,
I'm fabulous. We'll talk tomorrow.
But it just is what it is. Like, they're going to have a conversation, and then Stanford has to check with Marcus to see if he's available. Which is very relationship-y. And then we get to Carrie writing about judgment.
I think it's pretty much agreed that it goes open-minded, good, judgmental, bad. But are we being too quick to judge judgment?
And the question.
Should you judge a book by its cover?
No.
No. I mean, I think no is the answer, but I also think that we have intuition for a reason.
Right. And that's, I guess, what I think about when I think about this question. Should you judge a book by its cover? No. I mean, we all do to a certain extent, because you're going to make a somewhat of a snap judgment when you meet someone.
Right. And here they're talking about, like, situations and life in general.
Right. And I think there's a difference between looking at something and going, you're a bad person for that, and looking at something and going, like, oh, that's not something that I think that I would do, but that's just who you are.
Right.
So I don't think that judgment in and of... I feel like judgment is used as, like, a bad word. But there's a certain amount of just, like, sometimes it's how you define yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of all over the place on this one.
Right.
Because there is a certain amount of, like, okay, well, that's not who I am. And I suppose...
But it doesn't mean that you're bad for it.
Right, exactly.
Unless you're being, like, true to yourself.
And I suppose there's the quote, I think, that I've said before that was on Janine Tesori's whiteboard when I was in her office once that said...
Name dropping.
Replace judgment with curiosity.
Yeah, I've
and
heard
I do,
that.
I do like that. And I do... So I suppose instead of being like, I would never do that, one could also go, in what situation would I do that? Like, is there a place that I could be pushed to, or a situation in which I could see, like, oh, right, I can understand that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting question, but I suppose if we're going to judge by a book by its cover, no, you shouldn't. But we all kind of do. Charlotte's getting self-help spam.
Yeah, and I love all these books. Reservations for One. I love I'm Fine Now.
Yeah.
That one I like. That's going to be the title of my cabaret.
So she throws her book out the window and it kills someone.
I wrote, and Charlotte kills someone with a book.
Don't throw your books out the window.
No, don't throw anything out the window.
It's so dumb.
I remember reading when I was younger that, like, if you threw a penny off
the Empire State Building, it would
kill someone.
Yeah. And it was proven in the musical Avenue Q.
Proven by puppetry.
After three Weight Watchers meetings where they did nothing but talk about eating, Miranda Babyweight and Tom Big Bone decided to go someplace and actually eat.
And they're just talking about food.
Yeah, Krispy Kreme. They see Krispy Kremes. They're talking about how many points do you think it is. At the time of this recording, it was probably 5 or 6 points. But with the new Weight Watchers plan, it's 8 points.
Oh, 8 is a lot.
I mean, you get 23 a day. A vodka soda is about... not everyone. I get 23 points a day. A vodka soda is about 5 or 6.
Yeah, I know where I'd rather spend my calories.
All right. Well, that... Also, I'm going to say something right now. In defense of sweets.
Okay.
That when people say, like, I'm not a sweets person, or I'm not a sugar person, or I don't like candy, I want to invite you to not consume any sugar, including alcohol, and then tell me that you're not a sweets person.
I shall decline the invitation.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, because as someone who does not imbibe, sometimes people will often say, like, oh, I don't really want dessert. You want dessert? And I'm always like, you just had 5 glasses of wine. Of course you don't want dessert. Like, you don't need, you know what I mean?
Sure. Now, when I say that I'm not a candy person, I really don't say it with judgment.
Right.
As we're discussing this episode. Because I will then fully admit that there are other things in which I partake too much in.
Right.
But I understand what you mean.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, as in...
It's the same thing where, when someone's like, ugh, this sober January is killing me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm always like, okay.
Yeah, no, I really don't mean it like flippantly. And I will also admit that if I have, first of all, back in the day when there was Krispy Kreme in the city, because there aren't really even Krispy Kreme.
There's one in Penn Station.
Storms, but is that an act? Do they actually make the donuts there? Oh.
I don't know. I haven't asked.
Back in the day, when the light was on, I would get a Krispy Kreme because they're amazing.
Right. We talked about this before on the podcast.
Also, if I have a piece of candy, I then do want to eat all the candy.
Right.
So it's just a matter of, like, I just don't start it. But once again, we'll eat all the fries.
Yeah, and I'm not, like, and this is all my own shit that I'm just sitting here being, like, you know, be like, everyone's judging me because I wanted ice cream.
Oh, and I always want ice cream.
Right.
I suppose there's also, like, the sweet part of me there. Yeah, I remember this location, though, for the record. They mentioned the 23rd Street location.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to that one. It's right across the street from the Chelsea Cinemas. I think it's where the Trailer Park Restaurant is now.
Okay, right next to the Gap.
Yes.
In between the Gap and Big Booty Bread Company.
Yeah, I think that's where it was. So Miranda does sort of, like, enable him to eat a donut.
Would it be terrible if we split one?
Well, it really wouldn't. I mean, it would only be, like, 2.5 points for them.
Yeah. And then we have some frosting on the lip foreshadowing. And Miranda just says, like, that's worth being fat for. Okay. First of all, she's not fat.
But they're like, that's what they're talking about.
And he suggests they use some activity points.
Ooh.
And we know what that means on Sex and the City.
They're going to ride bikes.
Yep. So we're back in bed. He appears from under the blankets with a very damp face.
Yeah. Very Richard. Remember when Richard was doing that? Also very.
No!
Yes!
Talk about loving yourself.
I'd rather just be good friends with myself.
You know, when I was a lesbian.
I saw that coming.
Yeah, when I was a lesbian, and Charlotte just thinks it's impolite. Sort of like, why didn't you say anything?
It's a little hard to criticize if you're with someone who overeats when he's criticized.
And then, yes, maybe my favorite quote in the entirety of this series.
Wow.
Miranda went out with an overeater and he overate her.
It makes me laugh. And I think it's not just the line. I think it's the way that SJP says it and the fact that she's cracking herself up. I don't know. I think it is so funny. And I literally cannot hear the term overeater and not think of
overeater.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much. And they talk about how it's a weird double standard that, like,
right,
if she pleasured a guy and then went to kiss him and he was grossed out by it, then she'd be upset. I think there's a happy medium, though, because it really is messy on this guy.
Yeah, there's a lot happening there. But once again, it's for a sitcom.
Yeah. And then we get right back into, you know,
Samantha. Mm-hmm. Do you kiss after a blowjob?
No, she just signs the delivery slip and sends him on his way.
And we're back to, once again, weird, where we're trying to use humor, and Samantha does not find it funny.
No.
Apparently, Carrie has a problem with the fact that she saw me blowing the Worldwide Express guy.
And then I actually think it's more weird that it's her delivery guy. So you're going to have to see this guy twice a week.
And she's already seen him and not done it.
So that's actually more bizarre to me.
I mean,
one thing was like, I'm never going to see this guy again. And then we laugh about this stuff all the time. But yeah, Samantha's clearly not fine.
I wrote, Sam is mad.
We better go, Carrie. We'll be late for the stylist.
So we get to looking at clothes. Samantha brought Naughty, Fabulous, Camp, and Harlow. Which also makes me feel like my note in a little bit is they're just not on the same page.
At all.
Like, they just should have had a conversation first, I think.
Well, yeah, and I think Carrie wanted to, but I think Samantha didn't. And then...
Well, she refers to the M11. Earlier, she said that they want her naked on 6th Avenue. Just to be really picky, the M11 goes up 9th and 10th Avenues.
How did the show even make it? And I'm the bus queen.
You really are.
Carrie feels like she's an extra in Moulin Rouge. I feel like she's a fembot.
That is much more what she looks like, is a fembot.
Knock, knock.
Oh!
Nothing in here I haven't seen and ruled out in junior high.
And we meet Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Palmer. He was a dancer in the movie Chicago, which kind of becomes funny in a few episodes. He was also Prince Eric in The Little Mermaid on Broadway. He was the original Prince Eric.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and like, this screams hooker.
What respectable New York woman would be caught dead wearing this?
I have one in red. Am I a hooker?
Yeah, they put Stanford in the middle also, and then Marcus. Like, well, what do you guys think? And
right.
It's not very modern. Isn't he great?
And Carrie talks about what they find sexy and...
This is about the blowjob, isn't it?
What?
One little blowjob, and I'm a hooker with no taste.
Samantha is so in a state of defensiveness here.
Right, which I don't know why. I mean, we find out. And then when Stanford and Marcus leave... I hate to bring up beaches again, but Carrie with that hair and in that fembot costume is giving me CeCe Bloom again.
Okay.
I've seen you at cocktail parties wearing not much else.
Nuh-uh, not lately you haven't. And you know why? Because it's time for ladies my age to cover it up.
Yeah, Carrie sort of references her changing fashion style. And I guess that's true. What we were talking about earlier about her remembering to put her clothes on. But that was just a season ago. Like, I feel like we haven't really, like...
Have we decided that's a changing fashion
right.
style?
Right, so I guess maybe we were supposed to just notice that she's being more demure.
Yeah.
Even as her dress flies up outside the Guggenheim. I don't know, but... So I guess here we're just addressing character changes that maybe we hadn't noticed.
I saw that look in your eye in my office.
What look?
That judgmental look.
That wasn't judgment, that was shock.
Yeah, and she makes the comment of... Carrie says she has no judgment, and she said, you have no judgment, and then I thought, Samantha is internalizing this.
But I do have a question. Will this relationship be priority overnight or next day delivery?
And Carrie says that it's something I would never do.
Right. That which she would never do like Samantha did. And
right.
Samantha's going home. She feels very judged by all of this.
Right, and I think in that moment we realize that, like, that is something I would never do. You and I had this conversation, is a form of judgment.
Yeah.
In a sense.
And I'm sure that I've said it. I suppose that when I say I don't want sweets, that's a form of that. I don't mean it that way.
And I obviously took it personally because I was like, I need to clear this up.
Do we need to talk about this?
We just did.
Okay.
Yeah,
Samantha's going home.
Yeah, I said Samantha is going through something.
Yeah, she's not going to be judged by Carrie or by society.
And she walks in on...
Stanford and Marcus.
Yeah, I just wrote, good for Stanny.
I wrote, Stanford looks real proud and Marcus just goes right back to it. If someone walked in on me in that situation, there'd be a little bit of cover-up and then a little bit of like, sorry, I don't know. It feels like they're a little too proud of what's happening.
Who knows?
And maybe that's me judging. Tom and Miranda are in bed.
Wet face.
Yeah, Miranda stops him, and it just makes Tom uncomfortable. And it is like that situation of, I feel badly for him, but I also want to be like, we're right back to the defensiveness, I guess. That, like, it just brings up all of his defenses. And he had mentioned earlier that when he's criticized, it triggers his wanting to overeat.
I don't want a tissue. I want a pot pie.
He wants 7 pot pies.
He's like, I don't want a pot pie. I want 7, which is true. Like, I don't want a cookie. I want all of the cookies.
Yeah, I feel that. And then thinks they shouldn't see each other.
Yeah, and he takes her sheet.
I think that they're at his place.
Okay, so she's stuck there forever. But he is like, put that sheet on like a cape and walking out.
Miranda has to go to the meeting near the Krispy Kreme, but she's no longer into glaze. Listen, it would take more than that to make me not like glaze anymore.
Yeah.
Carrie visits Samantha at work, and she's still making jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny.
She's like, is Samantha in there? She alone.
Yeah, and then her all like, I'm coming in.
Yeah.
And Samantha just still isn't ready to find it funny.
Yeah.
And we learn that she's been ignoring Carrie's calls.
2 days, 4 calls, no answer. I know. Sorry. I've been busy.
But then also doesn't want to talk, like doesn't want to do the apology thing. Like she feels like they're too good of friends to have that conversation.
Right.
And I don't know. I suppose that I have situations where with friends where I've thought we don't need to talk about this. But that's rare, especially if it really feels like you're in different places with it. Like, if you're just not hearing each other, that you sometimes do have to have that conversation, even though Samantha thinks that they're perfect.
As lovely as that idea sounds, we're not perfect.
Well, we're pretty damn close.
Make no mistake about it, it's not my personal style. But I really admire your ability to put your sex life out there.
And Carrie brought ideas and still wants Samantha's opinion.
I did judge you, just a little.
No, honey, it's not just you. I judge me. Ever since that fucking Richard, I don't even know who I am anymore.
This was a thing that I would have brought up in their last conversation. But Carrie makes reference to, I'm getting older, and it's time for women our age to behave and dress differently. And it's funny how I can both hear what she's saying there and get it, but also be like, unless you don't fucking want to.
Yeah. Because Samantha's older than you.
Right. And Madonna's older than all of you. And sometimes I think Madonna goes a little far to bring this full circle.
Yeah. But and Madonna should behave and dress differently.
But if she doesn't want to, then should she?
I don't know, Mike. You're the Madonna expert.
Listen,
How many hours did you drive to see Evita?
It was like a 16-hour bus ride in a winter storm.
To see the movie of Evita.
Yes, because it wasn't coming to my hometown for another month. And then we saw it again the next day. And I hate that grill.
I thought you were going to say, and I hate that movie.
I love that movie. But I don't know. This comes down to, at what point do you go, I don't care what society thinks. This is what I want to do.
I think sooner than later, I wish I would have done it 10 years ago. But I'm still trying to figure it out. Because really, no one cares. We're all self-centered. We're just thinking about ourselves.
Well, I mean,
those who care, the only reason they care is because they're trying to deflect. Like, the people that are talking shit are only talking shit because they're so self-conscious of themselves.
Sure. Yeah, because people are shady about things like that and do say, dress for your age and dress for your size and dress for your...
Right, you know, because they don't have the confidence to do so. Right.
And I have probably done it.
Every time I am talking, gossiping about somebody else, it's... usually because there's something they're doing that I wish I was. And sometimes it's hard to dig to find it, but usually that's what it is.
Yeah, I think most judgment comes from a lack of self or a lack of, self-confidence, I suppose. Yeah, I don't know. It's a complicated subject. Replace judgment with curiosity. And we get to the photo shoot.
Isn't she fabulous?
And she looks great.
She does. I wish the coat was a little simpler, actually. I wish, like, when they said, and this just the suit jacket, I kind of was hoping it was more of like a sleek, plain suit coat. Like, I didn't love the ruffles as much, but she does look great.
Yeah, and I think they're still trying to keep it like fun and party.
And then they're like whispering, and Samantha does absolutely nothing to
She's like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
and
hold on.
And like touches it, and then is like, okay.
Wait. Sometimes it takes a friend to make a picture perfect. But a picture-perfect friendship, well, that's just in books.
And there you go.
I couldn't help but wonder, where was the baby while Miranda was eating in various ways?
Maybe like Magda has been upgraded to
eating housekeeper. Eating and being ate, because she got rid of the baby nurse.
Yeah. So maybe Magda got that one...
taste of baby.
Babysitting when... taste of baby. Okay,
you know what I mean? Like, she loves, like, you know, like when you get a taste of something.
And now she's babysitting as well. I guess I couldn't help but wonder why Samantha didn't just lock the door.
Because she kind of likes it. She's an exhibitionist. That's probably true. Like, you can't lock the guy in the room. Like, it was very impulsive. You can't, like, when the delivery man comes to go and lock the door. That's when they called the police. We gotta go.
We do gotta go. All right, we'll be back next week. We are halfway through this season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how quick this season's going.
Kudos. So,
see you on the other side.
Bye. Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. We'll be back next week with +1 is the loneliest number. Yeah, Miranda and Tom are going out for a diner.
They're going out for a diner. I thought that was her sheet, because those are not the peach. What were they called?
I don't remember.
But they were. It was a big issue with us.
It was.
It was a peach sheet.